Thursday night football, the Ohio State Buckeyes season opener versus Bishop Sycamore. No. Versus Minnesota. Ohio State starting a quarterback who has yet to throw a pass in college for the first time since 1952. CJ Stroud is ready, but is this paddle ready? Let's go. CJ Stroud taking over at quarterback at Ohio State from Justin Fields. Stroud, of course, is a five-star recruit, but he has never thrown a pass in college. And the Minnesota Gophers returned 20 of 22 starters. Yes, last year was that tough COVID year. 2 years ago, this is a top 10 team. Justin Tinsley, expectations for Ohio State this year, and any chance it gets tight in the season opener?
You know, I was thinking about this on the drive over here. I'm really excited for the night. It's the return of college football, and Drake dropped an album at midnight. I don't know which one I'm more excited for. So now with Ohio State, you know, look, man, they've won 21 straight season openers. They're 16-0 in the Big Ten under Ryan Day. But it's not every day we see a trap game in week one. I fully expect Ohio State to win, but you can't count Minnesota out. Now, it reminds me of an age-old golden rule in college football. If you're going to lose, do it before Labor Day.
All right, all right. But you're already talking about L. You're already talking. I mean, a trap game. Can you have a trap game week one, Ramona Shelburne?
Yes.
I mean, that's how this goes. And by the way, it's a tough game this week. And September, coming up, they have Oregon coming to town. Mm-hmm. So this doesn't get any easier. And he hasn't thrown a touchdown. He hasn't thrown a pass in college. That's a story for every college quarterback at some point because they have new quarterbacks all the time. But Ryan Day has been grilling him, and that, you know, he made his reputation as a quarterback whisperer, and he's really confident in him. He's got a good O-line with he's got some good receivers there. So I think he's set up for a good debut here. But we're going to find out real quick.
Bob Ryan.
You got Minnesota here on the road, and you got Oregon coming up.
Do you believe this could be a trap game for Ohio State to start
the season? You'd have to find a – I get the concept, I think, but you know the word is being misused. Of course, it's not a trap game. It's a perilous game. It's a dangerous game. It's a game that you have to have respect for the opponent. PJ Fleck has proven himself to be a very good quality coach. Now, as far as having 20 or 22 starters back, sometimes that's not a good thing, you know. But they didn't have that great a year last year, as opposed to the year they had in 2019 when they were very, very, very good. But let's be honest, folks. Ohio State's a 2-touchdown favorite. The smart guys aren't worried about this game.
Mm-hmm. And Jun Lee.
I really want to get Bob's take on the new Drake album, but I'm curious to see whether or not Ryan Day. We've seen this line of quarterbacks at Ohio State that Ryan Day has helped develop, from Braxton Miller to JT Barrett to Cardale Jones to Justin Fields, and I'm curious to see whether or not we're going to see the next Ohio State quarterback star there. Stroud was a three-star prospect entering his senior year of high school and proved to become a five-star prospect. I'm curious to see whether or not that development continues and whether or not he's going to be able to kind of continue this line of really strong collegiate Ohio State quarterbacks.
Bob, back in.
June, were you talking about Alfred Drake, the original lead in Oklahoma?
The certified lover boy.
All right. Give me the game right here tonight. Ohio State, are they going to pull off this trap? Justin, you were leaning. Are you really prepared to go Ohio State L week one? Go ahead, Justin.
No, I think Ohio State's going to win.
Well, that should have been brought to our attention earlier, Justin and Ramona, June, Bob, you all have Ohio State. Okay, we'll move on.
Yeah.
The New York Mets, 0 days without an incident at this facility. The drunk driving arrest by the acting general manager in the early hours after a gathering at owner Steve Cohen's house. He's now been put on administrative leave. The latest for this franchise. We don't have time in a 30-minute show to list all of it, so let me cut to the chase. The column from Joel Sherman, the answer to the Mets' woes could be hiring Theo Epstein. Jun Lee, could Theo fix the Mets? Should Theo fix the Mets? Could Theo be wooed to fix the Mets?
Yeah, I think Theo would be able to fix the Mets. I'm just not sure whether or not he's going to want to do that. There's been a lot of talk around baseball, but whether or not he could be someone who could be the commissioner of baseball one day, that's been a conversation that's circled a lot of front offices. But this, I think, speaks to a larger issue with the Mets, and I think this extends beyond the Cohen ownership tenure about the cultural toxicity that has existed within the Mets organization, all the stories over the course of the last couple of years that have stemmed from that organization, from top down in the front office, you know, with all the sexual harassment stories, and now with what's happened with Zach Scott, there's been all these kind of dramatic stories that have happened and come out of this Mets organization. And this stems to just a larger cultural issue that Steve Cohen needs to address through changing the culture there and making sure that people feel comfortable working there.
Zach Thomas was the acting GM, right? Because of the previous GM, his sexual harassment. And Bob Ryan, I ask you now, could it be Theo Epstein that could turn this franchise around?
Well, I know there's a few other good people out there, such as David Stearns, but the fact is that he is the leading at-large free agent executive out there. So if you're looking for the number one guy, you would go after Theo Epstein. If I were Theo, I'd be thinking twice about it because he's on his way, everyone says, to the Hall of Fame based on what he's done in Boston and Chicago. You wouldn't want to mess anything up if things just don't go wrong or go right if he were to go anywhere else, whether it's New York or wherever. One other thing, he is, though, on record as saying that if he were to come back, he'd like a slice of ownership. And, of course, Steve Cohen's a 100% guy. They'd have to work that out.
Interesting. Ramona, I'll bring you in here, okay? Jared Porter was the GM when this year started, and he's out because of sexual harassment issues. You bring in an acting GM. Sandy Alderson, the president, made the decision on both Porter and then the acting GM, Zach Thomas. This is drunk driving. This has nothing to do with thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah.
But what are we talking about with this Mets franchise?
Well, look, I guess Steve Cohen will probably tell us on his Twitter feed, which is part of the problem. I mean, I don't want to hear from the owner on his Twitter feed every day. And some of this, we shouldn't even be talking about ownership. The best organizations, you don't even know who the owners are. You don't hear from them. You're talking about the players and the people on the field, and the owners set up a culture where the players in the field can shine. I think what I've seen from the Mets so far is like, the people running this organization just can't get out of their own way. They become the story all the time. So Steve Cohen, it needs to start from him and on down. And so you can talk about Theo, or you can talk about whoever, throw out another name of some executive who could come in and help fix them. My understanding is Theo is very happily retired. He's very happily retired right now and taking a break or sabbatical or whatever you want to call what he's on right now. I would not come. I wouldn't touch this. No way.
Justin Tinsley.
Look, I'm not going to even lie, man. The Mets need a clean sweep. There's not just a lot of bad energy there. There's a lot of bad actions there. And if I'm a Mets fan, I'm standing outside this window with a sign saying, baby, baby, please, like, come save me. Like, Theo Epstein, his track record is proven, man. But the real question is this. What does Theo really get out of this by saving the Mets, especially, as Bob alluded to, if he doesn't get ownership in this? Now, with competitive people, there's always that itch. There's always that itch that says, you know, think I can do this again. So with Theo Epstein, it's all about how serious that itch is.
Did the impossible with Boston, did the impossible with Chicago, and then that would be the Mets. Do the impossible. June, the last word here.
Yeah, I think this is true across sports, but ownership is often reflective of kind of the culture that permeates an entire team's organization from the front office down to the clubhouse. And so Steve Cohen is ultimately responsible here in making sure that the Mets are able to move past a lot of these bad things that have happened over the course of the last 3 years and just the general reputation of toxicity that has existed within the Mets front office.
Staying in Flushing. And it was Flushing last night at the U.S. Open. You see this rain? Look at this rain. You're just seeing the commute on the subway. Speaking of Flushing, Stefano Tsitsipas continued his streak of wins and extended bathroom breaks in between the third and fourth sets of his matches. He went in there again. He was in there for a while again. Some fans even booed when he came back out. He says he felt refreshed afterwards, as one might. And if it's within the rules, what's the issue? Bob Ryan, should people be frustrated with the rule here or how Tsitsipas is using it?
I've never heard of this being such an issue, and that leads me to wonder if we have any documentation. How many people do this in the course of a calendar year on the tour? How many people even go for one bathroom break ever? I mean it. I don't have any idea. There's just too much smoke. Too many people are questioning the motivation and what's going on for me not to think there's a little bit of a conflagration at least, okay? I'm suspicious that he's not just going in there to go to the bathroom. That's what people are saying.
Well, if there is smoke in there, you got to see a doctor about that. Ramona Shelburne, how about you?
Look, when you have I don't want to be in the business of regulating how long it takes anybody to go to the bathroom or what they're doing in there. Nobody wants to put cameras in there. So just put a time limit on it. Just call it 5 minutes. Okay?
And then what happens? I heard heard McEnroe yesterday say, and then points to DQ a point. It keeps on dropping every minute or so. Are we really at the point where we're doing that, timing bathroom breaks?
Look, he's necessitated this, right? I mean, if it was just once or twice, you can get away with it. But if this is becoming a pattern and players on tour are upset about the strategy of it, because clearly he's doing a lot more than just
Players are
doing his business there,
at least
right? Doing a lot more.
They're aware of it.
He's changing
Justin
his
Tinsley,
clothes.
Are you aware of this?
No, I wasn't aware, but I'll be honest with you. I understand why people are upset at him, but don't be mad at him. Be mad at the rule. The Grand Slam rule, they define you can take a reasonable break. Define reasonable. You can't give people that subjective power to define that. And we've seen this all across sports. We've seen James Harden and drawing fouls and how that, you know, upset a lot of people. We saw Reggie Miller back in the day would jump into people and draw fouls. Don't be mad at the player.
So you
change
would compare
the rule
that
if that's the case.
So you would say he's doing a James Harden type, play on the rules here, gamesmanship, and you're all right with that. June, are you all right with the extended bathroom break Tsitsipas has been going to?
I mean, I'm right there with Justin in that I think this is the rules. Like, what is this definition of reasonable? Because you can really, really stretch it in the bathroom with what you could be doing in there. It's one of those things where I would almost rather see him do a pull of Paul Pierce and be on the court cramping and, you know, going on a wheelchair, going back to the bathroom versus, like, kind of staying for 8+ minutes in the bathroom and getting booed on the way out. Imagine if he actually had to go to do his business and then you get booed coming
he
back
He comes
out.
Back with like a fresh shirt on, which, I mean, we've seen people get dressed on off court before, and then
when nature calls, nature calls.
Break time, and a story I really need to bring to your attention. Blake Leeper, a world record holder born without legs below his knee, has been the face of adaptive sprinting and the body of adaptive sprinting. He does Nike underwear ads and the fight of adaptive sprinting because he's been ruled out of the Olympics and now not racing in the Paralympics either. A court deemed he was unnaturally tall in his prosthetics, despite Leeper saying his height was still less than his wingspan. So he's not competing in these games as he trains with a different height of prosthesis. But most of all, I want you to see this. This is Blake Leeper as he introduced young KJ to their first prosthetic.
By step. By step.
Step by step. Even if today's games are not your games, tomorrow is a step away. Buy or sell next.
That's awesome.
That was beautiful.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Look who's in first in the NL West. The Dodgers went 126 days without being in first, but now they're there. And A.J. Pollock is just a clutch machine. Another late rally. And just nosing ahead of the Giants for the moment. San Francisco losing to Milwaukee, who's on a tear as well. I want to talk about them in a second. First, Ramona, are the Dodgers finally back to where they were, and is it for good?
I think they're back, and they're going to get better. They don't even have Clayton Kershaw back yet. I mean, the fact that they have been the second-best team in all of baseball for that entire stretch that you just mentioned, and now they have the best record in baseball, and they did it with Mookie Betts hurt, Corey Seager hurt. I mean, this is unbelievable how good they have been with a lot of their key pieces hurt. Oh, and by the way, Max Scherzer and Trey Turner just came aboard, and Max Scherzer threw 6 really good innings. I mean, they have every component that you need to win a World Series again.
Justin Tinsley,
Yeah, this feels like a trap question, but I'm going to answer it anyway. Well,
it's the first question I ask you. It's a trap, yes.
No, I understand. No. I think we all knew this was going to happen at the trade deadline. But since August 1st, they're 22-6. They look unstoppable. They look like the defending champions. And they're telling the entire league, for the rest of the season, it's scary hours for the rest of y'all because we're not even fully healthy yet.
June, they're the best team in the baseball, and they're not even the team that they've been all year. They're better than that now. What are they?
I mean, we came into the season thinking about the Dodgers as one of the most talented on-paper rosters in relatively recent baseball history, and now it's coming to fruition. Mookie Betts hasn't played like an MVP this year. He's been really, really good. For the last 2 months, he's been basically playing at MVP level. He has hit 9 homers in July and August, 289 average and 400 on-base percentage. He's starting to look like Mookie again, like the MVP that he has been in the past. This Dodgers team is going to take it to a next level. And the baseball playoffs are so much about timing, making sure you get hot at the right moment. And the Dodgers, by far, have the most talent in baseball right now.
Bob Ryan.
The team theme song is "The Best Is Yet to Come." This is the beginning of a big rush that will culminate with another flag hoisting in Dodger Stadium. Think about this. They don't even need Hall of Famer to beat Clayton Kershaw to have the most formidable rotation in the playoffs with Urias, Max, and Bueller. And they got all these MVPs on the roster. Guess what? They may have another one at first base. He's one of the leading candidates.
Max Muncy. All right. So now that we just ended the whole season, they're winning it all. I still want to ask you about the Brewers. This may be the best team the Brewers have ever put out. Franchise record on pace right now.
Yeah, this is a team with playoff experience. Craig Counsell is considered one of the best managers in the sport. And Christian Yelich, who was one of the best players in baseball a couple years ago, only has 8 home runs right now. He hasn't looked like an MVP. They're led by a rotation with Corbin Burns, who leads the league in F4 among all pitchers. And then the number 6 guy in baseball in F4 among pitchers is Brandon Woodruff, who's their number 2. And then they have a 3rd guy in Freddie Peralta, who's also a really, really good pitcher as well. They've got a lot in that rotation. They're forced to be reckoned.
Bob, where do you come down on F4? Are you for or against it?
I could say something here that would get us all in trouble.
Well, I appreciate you not doing that. All right, we'll move on. Buy or sell two Ben Simmons trade headlines. Golden State, the betting favorites. Warriors reportedly worried about how Simmons and Draymond would work on the floor together. Sacramento Kings reportedly won't trade Halliburton and Fox for Simmons. And the Minnesota Timberwolves could try for a big four with Karl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell, and Anthony Edwards. If that is, in fact, a big four, it's four, whether it's big or not. Bob, talk to me about how this could play out.
This is the most unusual player of stature in the history of the NBA. He's a human plus-minus guy. Okay, now, that they have to just suck it up, Daryl Morey, and say, we will be happy to take 50 cents on the dollar. He is not worth his perceived all-star status. In return, you take what you get. Period.
Really? So you think you're at the point you need to make a trade, even though it's 50 cents on the dollar. Ramona, how about you?
Look, this all comes down to whether or not Ben Simmons will really leave money on the table and hold out. Okay? The first checks in the NBA are paid in November. If he sits out of training camp and the first couple of weeks of the season, he doesn't even feel that financial hit until November. Are the Sixers going to play chicken with him on this?
Justin.
I just don't see how a deal gets done at the current asking price. They're asking for a star and multiple first-round picks. Like, no hate on Ben Simmons. Excuse me, no hate on Ben Simmons, but his trade value does not reflect the asking price right now. Mm-hmm.
Jun Lee.
We've been on a Drake roll today, so I think Ben Simmons just needs to get out of his own feelings. He's in his own feelings too much right now. And it's one of those things where both sides right now are incentivized from the Sixers' perspective and from Simmons' perspective to stay together and increase Ben Simmons' value as a player once again.
Ramona, is there anything to, like, well, the Warriors saying, nah, you know what, Simmons and Draymond, I don't know how they could work on the floor because of the shooting. Is there anything to that?
Well, yeah, neither of them are good shooters, and they both shy away from shots at the end of games. But I think this is just a game where you say, okay, are you willing to wait to trade him until his value is built back up? Is that Ben Simmons' problem? Like, if he's willing to
that.
Take money out of his
pocket.
But
I'm still focused on Golden State here, right? Okay, those two guys don't shoot. I get it. You got other guys in the team that shoot. You got Curry and you got
Clay. You got two of the greatest shooters
of all
time.
Shoot. You could have two great defenders. Showdown up coming. Jun Lee, Ramona Shelburne, 2 minutes.
Let's go.
Tired of of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The House of Raiders owner Mark Davis. Have you guys seen this? Everybody has an idea of what it looks like. You know, there's a certain Star Wars theme to it. Looks like their stadium. Ramona, let me PTI you with a question. What's the word for this house?
I would say boisterous, okay? And I'm quoting a lyric from The Autumn Wind is a Raider. This is very on brand for Mark Davis. But look, I watch all those shows, Million Dollar List in New York, Million Dollar List in L.A. They would say this is a very specific buyer.
yes, it is. How about you, Jude?
It looks like Kylo Ren's bachelor pad. Yeah. I wanted to show off my Kylo Ren lightsaber and just to show how similar the vibes are between
that
home and this lightsaber.
Takes it everywhere he goes. Yeah, that's not boisterous, Ramona. Absolutely. Nailed it, June. Showdown 2, Ronaldo setting up his spot kick and an Irish player kicking it away. And what did Ronaldo do? He slapped him. No card, no red card. Ronaldo was stoned on that kick, by the way. Would go on to score twice later, set his record for international goals. But take his shirt off? Yes, he would. Yes, he would do that. June, what's the headline from Ronaldo's night?
The fact that the guy who got slapped acted like he got concussed off of a slap. But also, Ronaldo's 36 years old. I don't understand how his body looks like that at that age.
Ramona?
Look, if you had ads like that, go ahead and take your shirt off all the time. I mean, that's fine. You still got it, Ronaldo. You still playing. Man, you're getting the stars. How is he doing this at 36?
Oh, yeah. So he doesn't pass Christine Sinclair, who's got the all-time goals record for internationals, but now he's got the men's record. June Lee, take us 30 seconds.
I wanted to take a moment today to acknowledge the release of Shang-Chi, starring Simu Liu. He's the first Asian-American superhero in the Marvel Universe. Growing up, I would have never imagined there being a superhero who is Asian-American. So I'm just glad that moving forward, my nieces and nephews are going to be able to imagine themselves as superheroes. It's a really, really big day for the Asian-American community.
Thank you for that, June Lee. That's it for today. We're on a 23-and-a-half-hour break. We'll see you guys tomorrow. There he is. There he is, June Lee.
He's really bringing pictures everywhere he goes. Now?